Welcome in. It is the Morningside Hoops podcast. This is episode 2 of the 2025 season as we get the Columbia men's and women's basketball Ivy League seasons underway. I'm Kyle Matrician, joined by my co-host for the 2025 season, as I've said three times, Steve Merrill. Steve, how are you today?
I'm good. And I heard the music as we got going, too.
You did. You did. I know. As did I. Trust me, I definitely heard it.
Good.
But we are here. It is the second week of January. The Columbia men's and women's basketball teams are each into their Ivy League seasons. The women are 2-0 after a win over Cornell this past Saturday, 69-44 up in Ithaca. Kitty Henderson had a double-double, 15 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals. Riley Weiss scored 16, and Cecilia Collins had a game-high 17 for the Lions. As they look to keep on going here early in the Ivy League season, they'll be on the road, this Saturday at Yale before hopefully coming back home 3-0 in what might be a 3-0 versus 3-0 matchup on Monday. But it's one game at a time, and I'm sure that's what the girls will tell us when we talk to them. We're going to be joined by Riley Weiss, who I just said scored 16 points at Cornell this past Saturday, and Mia Broom, who was the Ivy League Rookie of the Week on December 30th, following her performance at Towson. So we're going to introduce everybody to one of the women's basketball freshmen. Looking forward to that conversation. And then, Steve, what do we got coming up on the men's side today?
We have a very good discussion with junior Avery Brown and first-year Mason Ritter. Dive into their family ties and sports background.
That's right.
It would be a good conversation with those guys.
Should be a great conversation with those two. The men's basketball team started their Ivy League season at home on Saturday. We're going to talk about the game against Cornell. Obviously, you know, they got down in the first half, but they came back, and I think we're within 7 or 9 points at one point.
Yeah,
early in the second half, and they battled. It wound up being an 11-point loss second half, although they outscored them in the second half by 9, and I know this team has Ivy League tournament aspirations, and I'm sure, you know, well, there's a lot left to be seen from our Columbia men's basketball team yet this year. And they will be home this Saturday. They got the opposite schedule of the women. They're home Saturday against Yale, and then they're on the road Monday against Princeton. So with that being said, let's throw it to break when we come back. We're going to start with the men this week. We're going to sit down with Mason and Avery.
We all know what comes with being a fan, the ups, the downs, and everything in between. Share a Coke with a friend. Coca-Cola. The official beverage of the Columbia Lions.
All right, welcome back. We're kicking off this week's episode of the Morningside Hoops podcast with two of our men's basketball players. We're sitting down with Avery Brown, a junior on the team, a junior guard, 6'4", from Beacon Falls, Connecticut, by way of Northfield Mount Hermon in Massachusetts. And we're also sitting down with a first-year forward, 6'9". Is that true? Wow. That's like a whole that's like a whole foot and 2 inches taller than me. How does that feel? From Bowling Green, Kentucky, Bowling Green High School. Is that the name of it?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today.
Yeah, thank you.
We were just talking right before we started recording. Bowling Green, Kentucky. Where is that? Let the viewers know.
There's really nothing in Kentucky around it. It's about an hour north of Nashville.
Hour north of Nashville.
Yeah.
So the hotel prices are much cheaper if you stay in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
They are.
Well, we appreciate you two coming on right after practice today. Avery, how'd practice go today? What was it like?
Practice was good. You know, just got like a full week to prepare for Yale. So, you know, we're just coming in every day, focus, and try to execute the game plan.
That's right. The men's basketball team preparing for their second Ivy League game of the season at home this Saturday, 2 p.m.
Yep.
against Yale. And then they'll play Princeton on the road on Monday. But first, let's catch up on where the men's basketball team is right now. They are 11-3 on the season. They started their Ivy League season at home this past Saturday against Cornell in what turned out to be an 11-point Cornell win. But Avery, you know, first let's reflect on the Cornell game on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Lions, not the first half you guys wanted, giving up 51 points, down 20 at halftime, but put in some fight in the second half to almost come all the way back. But what were some lessons that you feel like you and maybe the team learned from the Cornell game on Saturday?
Yeah, it really was just an introduction to league play. You know, we have a lot of new guys, so just getting a feel of what, you know, what the Ivy League brings and how talented and good these teams are. You know, they're the best, one of the best teams we played this season.
Yeah.
So it was a great introduction. I mean, obviously, the, you know, result isn't what we wanted, but,
yeah,
you know, we're looking forward to every game and just playing our game plan. I think we just came out flat, and, you know, we can't win. We can't do that when we try to win games, especially in this league. It's a real great league.
True. And you guys, 2 years in a row, because the schedule is exactly the same. It's just mm-hmm. home and away are flipped. So you guys start the league season with three of the, you know, three of the teams that are perennially in the Ivy League tournament, your yep. teams that you're trying to pick off to get into the Ivy League tournament.
Exactly.
So Mason, for you, you know, how was it your first Ivy League game, like watching this and kind of getting an introduction, like Avery said, to league play?
I mean, it just shows how much different the in-conference play is as opposed to non-conference, because they scout everything to so much higher detail and everyone can shoot, and it's, you're not going to have like wide open shots. So we kind of had to adjust and start taking good shots and whenever we wanted great shots. It just shows how you have to adjust your play.
And like we talked about, you guys are preparing for Yale this Saturday at home. Mm-hmm. Avery, bouncing back to you, what are some things that you guys, without giving the scout away, which we never want to do on a podcast, but what are some things that you guys are focusing on for the Yale game?
Yeah, most importantly, not coming out flat. You know, imposing our will on them and just hitting first. You know, opposite of what we did last game, we came out flat. You know, our scheduling has been weird these last few weeks, not playing too many games. So just getting in the flow of things and, you know, making sure our chemistry is on point and just playing our basketball. You know, I think the games will be a lot easier if we just do what we need to do and, you know, not react to the other teams we're playing.
Avery, how much does the familiarity of an opponent like Yale help in the preparation? I mean, all Ivy League teams, but, you know, your first Ivy League game was a Yale win, overtime game, so you're pretty familiar.
Yeah, honestly, the scouting, especially with teams like Yale and, you know, all these dudes are like four-year players. You know, there's not too much movement going on, so, you know, and guys don't really get that much better. Like, their game traditionally stays the same. So, yeah, you're most definitely familiar with a lot of the players, the, you know, the coaching staff and how they run things and their offense. So, a lot of, familiar things. But like I said earlier, we have a lot of new guys. So, you know, and they play. So, just catching them up to speed and having an understanding, you know, throughout the whole team.
Yeah, you have a lot of new guys who play, and one of them is sitting right here with us.
Yeah.
We'll give people a little bit more of an introduction to Mason, since he's joining us on the podcast. He has played, I just know all this off the top of my head, I'm not looking at my computer screen at all. He has played in all 14 games. He earned one start against Fairfield, where he had a season-high 12 points and five, not season-high, five rebounds, but he did have 12 points against in the Fairfield game. 5 for 5 from the field. Mm-hmm. Inside, right? You're inside down low guy. Yeah. I mean, you're 6'9", so if you're hitting threes,
he could.
That's, he can. He can hit him. You can knock him
just
down.
Not yet. He's coming.
But Mason, tell us a little bit about your recruiting story to Columbia and why you chose to come to Columbia and play for this program.
I mean, the main thing that I was looking for in like a school was just like a high academic program. And obviously Columbia is exactly that. And whenever I was down to choosing my final couple of schools, I went on a couple of visits. I went to all these places, and I basically chose Columbia just because the guys here seemed like they were always in a good mood, and everyone got along. And like I've said before, it's like Columbia, the basketball team here, there's no like tension between the players. Like every other team that I've been on, there's always been beef and arguments going on between people. But here, it's just everyone just kind of gets along, and you can – you really like go to anyone for anything and they'll always be there. So it's just like a big family style, I guess you could say.
Yeah. And you guys, they were talking about that last week on the podcast, how the culture in this program has developed a lot over the years. And Avery, you've been a big part of that over these years. So kind of mm-hmm. talk about from your perspective, the development of what Mason just talked about for you guys. It's kind of like almost a bit of a full circle moment mm-hmm. to hear him say that. And I'm sure that wasn't the case when you were being recruited here, you know?
Yeah, for sure. The program is most definitely in a whole different atmosphere, you know, with myself coming in. So it's most definitely in better hands. Like, he's in a, you know, his introduction to Columbia basketball is a lot better mm-hmm. than my class was, which is great. You know, we just want to keep elevating this program. And, you know, in 5 years or in a couple of years, even when he's a junior like myself, you know, he's saying the same thing to a new freshman in this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of the other freshmen, let's talk about some of the other freshmen, some of your classmates a little bit. One of which is from an hour away from you, which I just learned, from Nashville, Tennessee. Is it Gerard O'Keefe?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. Did you play against him at all, AAU or anything like that?
No, well, he went to school in IMG in Florida.
Right.
So he's from Tennessee, but like I had never played against anyone. Not that I know of.
Okay.
Coming in here.
Okay. Let's kind of go player by player here for a second. We'll let Avery chime in too. I know these are your classmates, but let's start with Gerard. Like, what, you know, give the podcast listening audience a little bit of an introduction.
Gerard is he's a knockdown shooter, in our class, and that's kind of like what he's, turning his game to, and it's been different. Everyone came in here with their own skill set, but whenever you go to college and go to a new program, you have to find out how you fit into that program. And so he's kind of following up in that shooter aspect in the classroom. Gerard is, I mean, he's probably going to be like class president out of anyone. He has like a 7 GPA right now. I don't know how that's possible.
Facts, all A's.
But that's kind of how he's fitting into the program so far.
All right, and we'll kind of branch our way out from Bowling Green, Kentucky, and go to Fayetteville, North Carolina, not too far away. But the Nigel Clarkson, 6'8", freshman from Fayetteville. Talk about him a little bit.
Yeah, so I actually met Nigel coming in at some of the kids' camps this summer, and we spent a good bit of time together. And at first, I mean, I don't mean everyone. Everyone's kind of quiet, but we've gotten really familiar with each other. And I feel like Nigel is, I see him very comparable to Blair, who's in Avery's class. Mm-hmm. They're both really tall forward who can shoot it and likes to make their way inside. And I can see he has a very, very solid future, getting good minutes in the years to come.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I'll take you off the hot seat now, and I'll move over to Avery, and we'll talk about Josiah and Gianni Cobb. But
yeah.
Josiah Cunningham, from all the way from Long Beach, California. Mm-hmm. To introduce everybody to Josiah.
Yeah, Josiah is a real talented kid, you know, very humble, great work ethic. I think all the freshmen have a great work ethic. But, yeah, he's a great kid, man, bright future in this program. I think he's most definitely going to be one of the best Ivy League players in the next coming year. So, yeah.
Then Gianni Cobb, 6'0", 150, is that correct? Wow, he's going to beef up this summer.
Yeah, hard to be 6'0". He's definitely going to get involved with Tommy and Yuki.
Tommy and Yuki, you're going to have a lot of work to do on him.
I'm sure that's his plan.
I mean, Avery, the way that your strength has improved, just seeing you each year, it's like,
you really put
good muscle on over the last couple of years. So.
Yeah, got to.
Yeah. He can probably. He's
on that body by Tommy diet right now.
Body by Tommy.
But Gianni from Chicago, talk to us a little bit about Gianni.
Yeah. So I mean, Gianni's a point guard, so we spend a lot of time together in practice. So yeah, he's getting better. I think all of them are, but he's getting better every day. Just learning, you know, learning. What coach wants, especially as a point guard, you know, got to be the coach on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just maturing, you know, as the day goes on, learning how to be a vocal leader. And, he's talented, and you know, all of them are, but, you know, he's talented, quick, knows how to, great at making plays. So,
nice.
You know, I think you guys will see their whole class, you know, flourish, like, over these next couple seasons. So,
yeah. We look forward to that, definitely.
Yeah.
Kyle, let's switch gears here a little bit.
Okay.
Guys, I want to talk about your families and the background in sports that they have. Mason, your mom played college basketball. Avery, your one of your cousins is a former NFL running back.
Yeah.
Mason, if you want to start, just take us through your family background in sports and what that's like.
Yeah, so I'll get to my mom in a minute. My dad never really played sports in high school. He was always like fairly athletic, but he was normally out working. He was very job focused, so he never really had a chance to play many sports. My mom, on the other hand, was, I think she might have been Miss Indiana basketball growing up. And then she played basketball at Auburn her 4 years. Actually, she was there 5 years. Her fifth year, she was like a recruiting coach, and she had a chance to go play overseas in Italy, I believe. But she went ahead and went to med school. But she had a really successful time in basketball at Auburn back in the late 80s.
Nice. has she helped you like with the college process at all? Like, I mean, she played a while ago, but still, you know, the life of being a Division I student athlete.
I mean, yeah, it's, I mean, you always need kind of someone in your ear in a good way about like how to go through stuff. And so she kind of talked me through like the whole process and like classes and what it was going to be like having practice in the away games. And, you know, you got to do homework on the bus, working on projects and everything. And, it's always nice to like have someone to be able to call, like your mom, who has been in the same situation as you, in case you need to talk something over.
Definitely. And then Avery, is it kind of similar? What's your relationship like? Your cousin's Larry Johnson, who's an NFL running back. Uh-huh. Can you tell us about that relationship?
Yeah, I mean, most definitely different because it's his mom. Most definitely just, you know, just learning, you know, how to be a professional in any field. You know, basketball is much different than football, but... Right. You know, just learning how to carry yourself and, you know, just tackle on any, you know, problems or, you know, issues you might have throughout this process. It's a lot of ups and downs. So, it's most definitely, you know, special to have, like, a family member that, you know, has kind of been through what you've been through and can help you along the way.
Well, Steve, I think it's time that we get to the unboxing. There's a big unboxing that needs to go on here. Mason walked in. He's the only one who's ever walked into a podcast and had something for, you know, one of our hosts. I mean, what the heck? Hey. You know, I've been doing this for 8 years, and yeah, I haven't received this. This is only your second episode.
The Ritter family special.
I know, jeez. Yeah. So, like, first describe the box to the people.
Yeah. What would we say? It's like a...
It says Happy Holidays on the outside.
It says Happy Holidays. There's some snowflakes on the box.
Yes, it's like a brownish, beige-ish color.
Yeah, it's got a strong... Like, it feels like good, like cardboard, maybe.
Yeah,
I would say.
Yeah, okay. It's got a gold...
Yeah, gold-like.
Gold lace around it and a bow. You can tell it was really a lot of effort.
There was.
I think Mason definitely did that for you himself.
The extra effect. I mean,
all right.
Definitely
so you're.
Appreciate
so
I'm a guess. I'm a guess.
Well, now you already know what it is because
I don't.
You don't know. What it is?
I thought you got. I thought everybody got the same thing. No,
no
did everybody
no,
get
no,
the
no,
same
was
thing?
All the coaching staff. So my mom. Oh, whenever she comes up here,
yeah,
she'll
I have
always,
no idea.
My mom always brings like a some sort of a sweet treat for all the guys.
Okay.
There's some in the lounge right now. So
okay.
She's brought up.
Now I know where I'm going after this.
Yeah. Right. All right.
So get some chocolates or something.
Oh my goodness. All right. The lid is coming off. Ooh. Oh, there's another plastic wrapper with another bow tie. Oh, looks like
kettle corn.
Kettle corn. Yeah. Looks like some caramel might be on it.
Oh my goodness.
Oh man. And then we have a horseshoe.
A little Kentucky thing.
Okay.
A
little Kentucky. Okay, Mason, please.
Edible?
Please tell. Is it edible?
My name on it.
Like, what?
It says Steve Merrill, horseshoes are a symbol of good luck, protection, and prosperity. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's. The Ritters.
Wow.
And then the third bag is.
They even looked up your name on the internet. Isn't that crazy?
Mason's Famous Caramels.
Yes, nice.
These are so you made these.
Well, no. Whenever I was little, I used to make caramels for all our family. Wow. And since I was gone, my mom kind of...
That's a recipe?
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, were these made when you were little?
No.
These,
this is incredible.
It's Willy Wonka. 15-year-old caramels. Willy Wonka caramel.
Wow.
Wow. Is that your new nickname?
Mason
now,
the Caramel
Wonka.
Factory. I see it happening, bro.
Wow. So just wow. You're going to have to share some of those, Steve.
Yeah, definitely.
You're going to have to share.
Definitely.
All right. So, tell us a little bit. So, what's the horseshoe thing? I mean, I know
you've
read
it,
but. It's
the Kentucky thing. Like the Kentucky Derby, horseshoes are kind of like
it's got
a
the blue
party.
In there.
Oh, there are. Yeah, can you play? Could I? Is there enough horseshoes to play horseshoes?
There's just one.
Am I supposed to? Oh, there's just one horseshoe. Is it a real horseshoe or is it plastic?
I think it was a real horseshoe.
Oh, it's like a pony, a small
horse.
Yeah,
it looks used.
Yeah. So, horseshoes are like a thing. If you hang them on the wall, I don't know, I forget which way it is, but I'm pretty sure if you hang it with the U facing upwards, it's like a symbol of good luck where it kind of pulls up the good luck on the inside.
Wow.
That's kind of like a Kentucky thing. So.
Wow.
Incredible.
It's a big moment for you.
I'm sure your mom's going to be at the game Saturday.
Yeah, I'm sure she will.
Definitely, definitely have to say thank you.
Absolutely.
You going to hog all that kettle corn and caramel
for
yourself?
Now, I don't think listeners want to hear you chewing on kettle corn.
No, you already saw me chewing on Jersey Mike's. Sorry, shout out earlier today on a Zoom meeting.
Jersey Mike's. Sounds good. We need a Jersey Mike's from our area.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah,
yeah, we're giving them a free plug right now. So the least they could do is open up a store near us.
Exactly.
It's crazy. Look, we're talking sweets and stuff. I don't know if you're familiar with Robbie Stankard's mom's game with the cookies.
Yeah.
You, I mean, Avery I'm can back familiar. Me up here.
Yeah. They haven't come in effect yet. But
not
I think
yet.
The league Harvard, play, league play, yeah, yeah. League play is when they
start. The Harvard-Dartmouth trip Facts. Is definitely going to
happen. Are they from? Because my mom was planning on bringing cookies fairly soon, so I hope there's not. I hope they don't
might have to work
it.
That out. Maybe someone can do like chocolate chip and somebody can do a different kind.
There's
of
no it. Complaining no matter how many.
Yeah. Wow. You never have enough cookies. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, we could do a whole podcast about desserts. I mean, I don't know if you've seen this shape that I'm in. It's really hard to maintain this. You got to put in a lot of effort.
Oh man.
But the Lyndhurst Pastry Shop in Lyndhurst, New Jersey, I'm going to shout them out.
You got to bring some.
The Rainbow. It's like an old Italian pastry shop. Oh,
what are we Rainbow, doing? You got to bring some to the gym.
I'll bring some. I'll bring arugulas.
He's closing the eyes. He knows it's real. They can't see him, but hey, he's closing his eyes.
That's so true. I was just mad. Oh, reliving it.
You bring in a box of desserts, that's going to bring guests in easier.
That really would. You know? That really would. You see? Mason has nice manners.
Nice.
You know, do you consider when you're from Kentucky? Do you consider yourself part of the South or no?
Yeah,
you do. Okay. Okay. So once you but so even if you were to live in like Highland Heights, Kentucky,
Ohio. It really depends because the Bowling Green, Kentucky is like not really like a Southern place. Like it's a fairly decent sized city.
Yeah,
and people aren't really Southern. But my dad now owns a construction company, so I was around like a lot of. Blue collar people and job sites growing up, so I got the fair bit of country.
And see, and that's why he came in here with a gift for his first podcast. Had nothing to do with you.
I'm flattered, though. I'll take it.
All right, very guys. Flattered. Well, we really appreciate you stopping in. This was actually a ton of fun.
Of course.
Not that I
always
didn't think
is,
it was going to be a
is,
ton of fun, but no, this was great. And like we said, the Columbia men's basketball team at home this Saturday at 2 p.m. against Yale, and then they will head on the road for the first time in league play to take on Princeton on Monday, also at 2 p.m. Yes, sir. Well, guys, appreciate you coming by. And Mason, we'll have a full review on the kettle corn and the caramel.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Peace. Hockey means the world to me. When you see me on the ice, you'd never know I was born with half a heart. But Dr. Basha and his team at New York Presbyterian re-engineered my heart so the right side does all the pumping. I had 3 surgeries before I turned 3, so I can go all out, especially when I'm on the ice. Half a heart? I'm all heart.
Welcome back. It's time to talk to players from the women's basketball team. I want to welcome in Riley Weiss, a sophomore from Hewlett, New York, but also spent some time in Florida. We talked about that last year on the podcast. And Mia Broom, a first year from Seattle, Washington, by way of Lakeside High School, correct? Mm-hmm. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks, Riley, for inviting me on.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Yes, what we do is I ask to see who's available, and Riley, I asked you, and I always want you to like pick a friend because I'm like, that makes the podcast more interesting.
Yep.
So how does it feel to be Riley's number one friend, Mia?
You know, it feels good. I mean, I feel like I get her the ball a lot on the court, so it's only fair, you know, for her to repay me in some way.
That's right.
Sure.
Well, we appreciate the two of you coming on. This will be a good time. This will be fun. The women's basketball team is 11-4 on the season. They've won 4 games in a row, if my math is correct, which it is. And you are 2-0 to start the Ivy League season with finally going to play a home game in the coming weekend, Martin Luther King weekend. But you do first go to Yale on Saturday to take on the Bulldogs at 2 p.m. before you come home to play Princeton, your first home game, in 47 days on Monday, January 20th. That's at 7 p.m., and that game will be on SNY on TV and ESPN+. So we're looking forward to catching up with you two. Let's start with the Cornell game last Saturday, a 69-44 Columbia victory at Cornell. Riley, I'll start with you. Okay. You had 16 points as part of like a little trio there of CC had a game high 17. You had 16. Kitty had 15. The three of you kind of been like a little three-headed monster in terms of scoring this year, I think, right? You guys are the big three. You guys are the big three now.
I don't know about that, but sure. Sure. Why not?
Well, why don't we start with you? Talk to us about Cornell. I know you guys would like to get off to a better start in the first quarter, mm-hmm. but you guys really separated yourselves in the second half, started with a 12-0 run. So what to you felt like started to click in the Cornell game?
Yeah, I mean, I think heading into the locker room at halftime, we obviously knew we needed to turn some things around. I think we had a really good response in the third quarter, so I was proud of us for that. But yeah, I just think, again, like we need to string together a full 40 minutes of Columbia women's basketball. So, I mean, once we play a game like that, I don't really think anybody can beat us.
Yeah, and you guys have been a force in the Ivy League since this program has come back from the pandemic. Now 39-5 against the league competition since the start of the 2021-22 season. Looking to go 40-5 with a win against Yale at Yale on Saturday. Mia, I'll jump over to you, making your podcast debut. Really appreciate you coming on. I know some fans are just kind of getting to know you a little bit on the court because you suffered a preseason injury that you had to work your way back from. You weren't able to play any of the games in November. For anybody who may not know, you made your collegiate debut at Duke. So first talk about that. What was that like, your first college game at Cameron Indoor?
Yeah, I think that obviously that's an amazing gym to play in. But it was just fun. I think basketball is basketball, so in the beginning, you might be nervous, but honestly, once you get up and down the floor once or twice, like, it's just the game. So, yeah, it was really fun, but I was definitely gassed. Like, I was very tired.
Yeah.
Very out of shape.
It's hard to stay in shape when you're injured, even though during practice, I'm sure as you're coming back from your injury, whether you're on the bike, whether you're kind of running some sprints on the side, trying to stay in shape. So I'm sure you were very gassed after that game, but then your first home game home against San Francisco, you score 13 points, you have 5 blocks, which was, I don't know if you'll ever have 5 blocks again in your career. That was fun. They were strip blocks.
They weren't real blocks.
Well, it's not like you were getting up high and blocking a shot over somebody's head, but they were legit shot attempts.
Well, I did that
attempt.
A couple times.
Did you?
No. Yeah.
In that game? Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
they call me the flying squirrel. Because okay. I probably should have been called for a foul, but
that's okay. Don't do that to yourself. Don't do that to yourself. But you had 13 points, 5 blocks, 7 rebounds, 3 assists in the home game against San Francisco. A little bit of a breakout game for you. And then you mm-hmm. had 11 points at Richmond, where you had, you know, you didn't have 5 blocks, but you had 4 steals, 4 assists, 2 rebounds. So you've kind of done a little bit of everything mm-hmm. on the court so far. But what do you feel like is kind of your style of play in terms of what you're trying to help this team accomplish?
My style of play, I would say that obviously like going downhill is more natural for me, but I don't know, I think for me the biggest thing is working within our offense and not just going out on a limb and doing my own thing. So doing anything within our offense, like I get my confidence from that, and yeah, what you said, doing a little bit of everything. And I also think like a lot of things come with defense, and if you can be reliable defensively, then you're going to play more and you're just more reliable on both ends of the floor. So I think the key for me is just be solid. I don't need to make the home run pass, home run play every time. So, yeah.
And coach, I know I've seen from my chair, has talked to you a little bit this year in game situations in terms of trying to like slow it down because you're trying to do everything. So kind of talk about that a little bit. Like, because the game must seem a lot faster in college than it was in high school.
Mm-hmm. I think that slowing down is a big thing for me and just controlling my pace. You're harder to guard, but also like you can be confusing when you move too fast. I'm obviously pretty turnover prone at the moment. I'm working on that, but yeah.
You're really self-critical of yourself. That's seeing that right now.
That's okay, but just, yeah, slowing down. It's good.
Rye, what have you noticed about Mia as, you know, as a freshman in her first season on the team so far, that, I don't know, has any of it reminded of you and what you went through your first season on this team?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I love playing with Mia. She's a really great person to play with because she's just going to do whatever the team needs her to do. So that's something I really love about her. And yeah, she's just going to play super hard
and she's going to push the ball. Like, she's a great point guard. She's really good at getting downhill. Like, that's, I think, the best part of her game is how shifty she is. And then she also has a really nice jump shot, too. So she's been really fun to play with.
Say, Mia, a little gassy up a little bit.
Good. Thanks, Riley.
But it's always better. It's always better. I will say it is always better to talk about other people. So now that we're next to Riley, like, talk to me about, you can talk about Riley if you want. I'm sure Riley would appreciate that. But like, in terms of what you've seen from your teammates on this team and like areas that you kind of want to emulate.
Well, yeah, emulate. I mean, I guess I look up to Kitty a lot, obviously, as our point guard, but also like our team's leader. And also, like, she's been through this program. She's been through the ups and downs as well. So being able to learn from her and other players that have also like struggled in certain areas has really been helpful. As for Riley, like, she's so fun to play with. She's a magnet on the court. So honestly, just being on the court with her, you have so much space. She brings, like, yeah, I mean, you can't help off of her. So, and if they do, then it's butter, but it's butter. Yeah. But she also, like, in practice will hit crazy shots and like game winners and stuff. And we're all just like, yeah, that's normal. Like,
She was part of weren't you part of the ESPN top 10 thing that happened last year with CeCe?
Yes, I was.
Who came up with that? The juggling, in case nobody saw it. Like, CeCe was like juggling the three basketballs, and then she threw one to you and threw one to Abby. Okay.
Yeah, that was definitely CeCe.
How many times did you guys practice that before it actually happened? Not practice that day, but.
Yeah, we definitely had done that other days. And, you know, we'd get one make, two makes. And then that was our first try that day. I promise you guys, that was our first try that day, but that was really fun. And then it was really exciting how much that video blew up. Like, it was cool.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
cool.
It was cool. Did you see that?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
At what point were you, I guess we can talk about your kind of like journey to committing to Columbia. Like, at what point were you committed to Columbia? Probably by that point, because that was your senior year.
I committed in early August when I came on my visit. It was my first visit. And as soon as I was here, I knew. So
was it after your official visit?
It was on my official visit.
Oh, probably because I was with her a lot.
No, I was.
Full circle moment back on the podcast with Rye.
Full circle. Yeah, full circle.
But what was it that drew you not only to Columbia University and this program, but, you know, talk about why you chose to come here?
I chose to come here to play for Coach G, I would say. I mean, obviously, like, very smart, but also just the way the team is, like, defensively super disruptive, offensively playing in transition, playing freely, the creativity from all the players, like, just such a fun team to watch. Also, we're in New York, like, just endless opportunities. Yeah, and I just thought that, like, being on a program that's has been building and, like, has been seeing more and more success was just, like, I wanted to be a part of that, so.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. And I do need to mention, I mentioned it before we started recording, but you were the Ivy League Rookie of the Week following your performance at Towson on December 29th. What was it like to be, what was it like when you found out that you were the Rookie of the Week for the Ivy League? And I'm sure you were surprised because probably like, what?
I was very surprised. I would say, like, it's cool. It's nice, but I mean, our goals are, like, so much bigger than Ivy League Rookie of the Week. So, yeah. I mean, they come and they go, and no one really remembers them. Like, I mean, it's nice in the moment, but I don't want that to be, like, a motivating factor for me. And they're also, like, I just feel like they're subjective. Like, you could do everything right and, like, not get it. So, you could do everything wrong and get it.
Yeah,
so,
a lot of it's stats-based, you know. It's not necessarily your game performance.
Yeah, but I just think it's, like, a nice gesture, but not really that important.
Well, over under, are you going to have 3 Ivy League Rookie of the Weeks this season, which is how many Rye had last season?
I couldn't tell you.
Come on.
I don't know.
Come on.
I don't know. I don't care.
Yeah.
Rye, what do you think?
Over.
Over?
Over. Why not?
She's gonna peak in the Ivy League season.
Yep.
She's going to peak. All of a sudden, she's going to drop 20. As we talked about at Yale this Saturday before finally coming and playing a home game. Granted, you guys have been home practicing and, you know, it's kind of nice when you're still in this period where you don't have class yet to, you know, feel like you just play basketball and don't have to do everything at the same time. But Rye, you've experienced big games in this arena before. And Mia, I believe you were here last year for the Ivy League tournament, I was told.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, you were. So you've seen this gym in like a, you know, full capacity. So how much are you looking forward to playing at home in front of like your friends and your classmates and stuff like that?
I'm pumped to play, you know, a home game again. We love road games, but it's been 47 days, like you said, since our last home game. So I'm really, really excited. I'm excited to see, you know, the fans again. I'm excited to see my friends, students, all that. I'm really excited, yeah.
I feel like the timing is kind of nice because everybody's just coming back from winter break.
Yep.
And it's a night game on Monday, so I feel like everybody will be back
by then.
Everyone
better be there.
And it's, you know, I feel like Martin Luther King Day is a big day in terms of college basketball. There's like, I feel like always like a full slate of games, and you guys are in like a primetime slot at 7 o'clock. Game's going to be live on SNY. And also, if like, I don't know, if I were a college kid on this campus and I just came back and I was like, oh, we're playing Princeton tonight at 7, you know, and then I don't know, do what you do as a college person after the game, which we'll get into on the podcast. But I feel like that, I don't know, I would have fun.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a great reason to come out. I'm trying to sell and make people come out,
well,
right?
Well, thank you, Kyle. Yeah, you know. Appreciate that. We appreciate that.
So, but also, Rye, talk about playing Princeton here for the first time. Obviously, Princeton, we don't, we're not, you know, we have two games to preview. Obviously, we've got to take care of business against Yale first.
Yep.
But Princeton, as we all saw, had played a very close game against Harvard. And Harvard looked very good in the non-conference season. Everybody thought that was going to be a very tight game, and it was. Princeton won on a buzzer beater, 52-50. So what do you think it's going to take for this team? Who, you know, you guys did beat Princeton at home last year in an epic game on senior day for Abby and for Nikki and for Skeddy. But what do you think it's going to take this year to kind of consistently be better than Princeton?
I mean, well, like you said, we're obviously focused on Saturday. You know, we'll handle business on Saturday versus Yale. And then, I mean, I think it's just going to take a full team effort. I mean, everyone is super important. So we all have the same goals and we're all really bought in. You know, those games are just going to take a full team effort, I think.
And Mia, are you looking forward to your first Princeton game here at Levian?
Yeah, I look forward to every game. But this one.
But there is nothing like playing in Levian Gymnasium.
Yeah, there isn't.
When it's
like
when there's a lot of people, because I feel like it gets very loud because because of how close all the fans are, like right there. So and there's no, obviously behind each baseline, it's just kind of like a wall, so all the sound kind of like bounces around, and it's a lot of fun. There's been a lot of really fun moments over the last few years here
in
this gym.
What's it called? Kids Day?
Yeah.
Kids Day
Education
gets crazy.
Day.
Education Day gets crazy.
Yeah.
That was so loud.
That game was so fun.
Yeah, that game was a lot of fun. I remember we had great photos. And I remember this one photo in my mind of you last year when you guys went up into the stands.
I know
the kids.
Exactly what you're talking about. That was a great picture. Yeah. Shout out to Josh for that picture.
Shout out to Josh Wang, one of the photographers on the athletic staff, who is one of our student photographers. He does a great job. And Lem Maricott also does great photos.
Yes.
And there's some other people that you may or may not know, but Zoe, Liam, Owen, they do great stuff. Great student photography we have here at Columbia.
Yes.
Mia, I actually want to bounce back to you since you're our first freshman to join the podcast this season. Talk to us a little bit, introduce us a little bit to your classmates who are also new on the team.
Ooh,
this year.
That's a good question.
I like this. So my roommate's Marta. She's from Estonia.
That's right, Marta Jama.
She's a baller.
She is, and unfortunately, people may have seen her in the first game of the season against Stony Brook. She did, and we can put it out there because coaches talked about it, did tear her ACL against Stony Brook, so she will miss the remainder of the season. But she is a fantastic person, I'm actually enjoying getting to know her, like when I travel on the road with you guys and I'm at practices and shoot-arounds, and sometimes I'll sit there and talk to Marta. I did at Cornell. Like, she's hilarious. She's awesome.
She's so funny.
Yeah. But talk to us. Yeah, start with Marta.
Well, yeah, she's just like a gazelle, honestly, and like 6 foot, what, 3?
Yeah.
Kind of listed at 6'2", but we could bump that to 6'3".
All right, let's just say 6'3".
Yeah.
No, but we do this one drill where it's like full court layups, basically. But I think she had like the top speed in our team for a little while.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's just like smooth.
You would never guess that looking at her, but she just got really long legs and, like you said, moves like a gazelle.
She's fast.
Yeah.
But also just like a great teammate, super real, like won't change basically for anybody, but yeah, like being her roommate's been so fun. Obviously, like there's ups and downs in college, and like she's, I don't know, going through this injury right now, but like I've just been able to lean on her and also Maria and Nasi.
Yeah.
Maria, we're all in a suite Arbola, together. Yeah.
Oh, it's like the four of you. And Marta, Maria Arbola, who we'll talk about in a second, and Nasi Simmons. So all four freshmen are in a suite together. Yeah. That's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. We just learn to lean on each other. Like, yeah, when things get hard or like, you know how it is in college. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Just like continuing to grow in this program. It's not easy. I don't think at any program, but especially this one, like what's demanded of you is like intense, I would say. Like, there's a huge learning curve, but once you start getting the hang of things, it becomes really fun, and just you like grow closer to your teammates. And yeah, so I think that just seeing all of us, like at first, like we're uncomfortable with certain things or like things are like pretty difficult. But then once we see each other, like really getting into our own and like, I don't know, learning how your teammates are as people, but also what they struggle with. Like, I don't know, it's all just, I don't know, I feel like we're sisters on this team. So yeah, it's just really fun. Maria Arbola obviously is from Spain. Yeah, she's like very smooth too, like finishing mid-range. She's also really smart. Yeah. She's also majoring in mathematics.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, she's really smart.
She has one of the highest arcing three-point shots I've ever seen in my life.
Her and Maria. Yeah. Their three-pointers are both really hard.
Both the Marias. Oh, Maria Arbola, we were talking about.
Moss,
and then you guys affectionately call Moss.
Yeah.
Because her full name is Maria Arbola Sanchez, M-A-S, Moss. Yeah. And then Maria Avlihash, who do you consider, I don't know, she's new to the team, but does she feel like, is she in your suite or no?
No.
She's not in our suite.
Yeah. She's our class, sophomore.
You count her as a sophomore.
Yeah, for sure.
She's also really smart, too. She just feels older. So
yeah. She played a year, for some fans listening who may not know, Maria Avlihash played a year at Ole Miss. She's from Serbia. Really an international contingent on this team with the three girls we just talked about, Marta being from Estonia, Maria Arbola from Spain, Maria Avlihash from Serbia. But you and Nasi holding down Team USA.
Team USA, let's go.
Talk to us a little bit about Nasi.
Yeah, Nasi's just like a defensive beast. I mean, her hands are everywhere. Playing against her is really difficult, especially in the beginning of the year when we play against each other more. But yeah, she's just a beast, I would say. Super fun to play with. Also just like really fun to be around. I just think we have good people on this team.
Yeah, you guys really do. And I'm looking forward to seeing the four of you, Mia, Nasi, Maria, and Marta, kind of develop over these next few years. I've been here for 10 years, okay? Actually, this is year 9. I'm rounding. But so, I mean, it's been a journey to see it from Meg's first year to now. So I'm really looking forward to seeing like what you guys do and how you develop. And then coming back on this podcast on your senior year, maybe I'll see you now.
My gosh, if I'm allowed on here.
If you're allowed on here by then. Mia, you have a really fun personality. I know you're not letting it show so much on this podcast, but you know, you're super fun. People will get to know you in time.
They'll learn.
Cut that. No.
I don't know if I describe Mia as fun. Kidding.
Oh,
I would.
Cut that.
I was like, Riley, please tell us more.
No, I would. Mia's really fun. Mia's really fun to be around.
Riley's really fun.
Oh, guys.
She makes me laugh.
Wow. This is a wholesome moment. I think on that, we will end this segment of the podcast. We appreciate the two of you stopping by. Again, Mia Broom, Riley Weiss, and the Columbia women's basketball team will be taking on Yale Saturday at Lee Amphitheater in New Haven. That game's at 2 p.m. on ESPN+. And then, like we talked about, finally coming home to play Princeton. Potentially, again, I'm not going to skip ahead, so I won't say anything. That game's going to be we think a battle for first place, hopefully. Right?
We got to get there, Yale first.
We got to get there first. You know, one game at a time. You got to play Yale. Mm-hmm. So, again, appreciate you two coming on and good luck this weekend.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thanks,
it was really fun.
And that's another episode, Steve. And while that little swoosh animation was playing, we had some of that caramel from Mason.
Incredible stuff.
It really was. Actually, unique. I did not expect it to be that good. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I thought it was going to be kind of hard. and like crunchy. It would
It was good.
Melting.
Once you get it out of the wrapping paper.
The wax. It did get some stuck in the wax wrapping paper.
It's a nice reward though to put in the hard work of getting it out
it really
of.
Really was. It's like eating a lobster or a crab. You just gotta work.
For a little reward. But it was totally worth it.
It was really good. It was really good. Really appreciate all of our guests this week: Riley Weiss, Mia Broom on the women's team, Mason Ritter, and Avery Brown from the men's team. Like we said, the Columbia men's and women's basketball teams will have a full weekend of Ivy League play, both playing Yale on Saturday, the men at home, the women on the road, and then they flip-flop on Monday. The women will be home for the first time in a month and a half to play Princeton, and the men will be on the road at Jadwin to take on the Tigers. For Steve Merrill, I'm Kyle Matrician. This is the Morningside Hoops podcast. You can catch this podcast and every Columbia Athletics podcast on all of the podcast listening platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, wherever you catch your podcasts. You can find us. Just search for Columbia Athletics.
And we'll see you guys next week.